Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for being able to come into your house to hear your word. I thank you for your people who pressed their way to be here. I thank you most of all for the Spirit of God who's here. And your word tells us he's here to lead us and guide us into all truth. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Transfer words that are on the pages of the Bible and cause it to leap off into the, from the pages of our, from the Bible to leap into the pages of our hearts. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everything that is said and done will not only bring glory to God, but it will inspire your people to know and to do what your will is for their life. Thank you for doing only what you can do in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm excited about the word today. We're in a series entitled Divine Momentum. Everybody say Divine Momentum. We're going from stagnation to acceleration. And if you haven't seen some acceleration in your life, I want you to begin to declare that this year I will see momentum in my life. And so that's the prophetic word. If you're visiting us, that's the prophetic word for the year for us. And so for the last two Sundays, we've been teaching on the topic of creating momentum with your money. How many would like to see some momentum with your money? Amen. And so our subtopic last week was the power of a seed. And so I'm going to jump right into this morning's message. And if you're taking notes, as a matter of fact, if you need this morning's notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give those to you. How many prefer the notes before I preach versus after I preach on the way out? Which one before? Before? Oh, okay. All right. All right. It's okay. So this week, if you're taking notes, the message title is How Giving Produces Favor. How giving produces favor. Now, let me say this on the front end, and this is not on your notes. When it comes to giving, you must look to God for your supply and then give to God as a seed. I'm going to say it again. When it comes to giving, you must look to God for your supply. Because if you don't watch it, you'll look to man. But look to God for your supply and give to God as a seed. And so there are three areas. This is not on your notes. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. And if you're not taking notes, write this down. There are three areas that are involved when it comes to your giving. Your heart, your hand, and your head. Those three areas are involved when it comes to giving. Your heart. Everybody say your heart. Your head. And your hands. See, your heart is where you give from. Your heart is where you believe from. Your head is what processes what happens. And your head actually determines what your heart is going to do. That's why it says make up in your mind. Make up in your heart what you're going to give. And then your hands are the things that actually do it. That's the flesh part of us. And when one of those three get off, it will eventually throw the other two off. So if your head gets off, it's going to affect your hands. If your heart gets off, it affects your harvest because your heart is where you give from. Say amen to that. And so I believe it is the cleanliness and the clarity of these three areas that will impact the levels of giving that happens in your life. Remember we read where it says 30, 60, and 100-fold? Well, what determines those different fold levels? What determines that? Well, I believe what determines that is the clarity and the cleanliness of one of those three areas. So if my heart is pure and my heart is clean, guess what? My fold is going to be better. Think about it. If I had a PCV pipe, what do they call that? A pipe. If I had a pipe up here, right? And that pipe was clean, then whatever would run through that pipe would get, you know, most of it would come through. But if that pipe was clogged up, then things would still come through. In other words, instead of 100-fold coming through, if it's clogged, I might just get 60-fold come through. So that's why it's so important that our hearts stay good. Say amen to that. So we've been talking about what momentum is, and momentum is a force or energy that happens when something or someone moves forward. It is power released when movement is made. Everybody say power released when movement is made. And so we stated for money to have movement, it must move in the right direction. And the key for it moving in the right direction is making sure that the first move that our money makes is towards God. Everybody say the first move should be towards God. And why? Because God cannot multiply what we don't give him. Amen. So what I want to do first is to show us the power that seed has and how that seed, when it's planted, can produce favor in our lives. And today, I'm not trying to educate you as much today as I'm going to try to inspire you. Sometimes inspiration is better than information. That's why back in the old days, they had testimony service. How many grew up in a church and y'all had testimony service? We didn't have testimony service in the Presbyterian church. We had a moment of sharing. That's what we called it. We didn't call it testimony Sunday. We said sharing. And you didn't share, you know, it wasn't a testimony. You shared stuff like, Evan's home from college this weekend. That was sharing. Well, sometimes it's the testimony of others that inspires our lives to grow better and to believe better. Say amen to that. Amen. So, what I want to do is I want to start out first by helping us see, because last week, I said the only problem with a seed is that it loses its power if it's never planted. So what we're going to do this morning is I want to read the whole context of 2 Corinthians 9. Normally we jump right into it. We'll go to verse 6, verse 7, but I want to read the whole context so we can see what Paul was actually saying, and I think it'll give you a good idea of where I'm going today. So we're going to look in the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. They're going to put the verse on the screen. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation again, and it says, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, was writing to the Corinthian church. So he says in verse 1, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. So let's start out by seeing that the context that he's starting out with is talking about the ministry of giving. Everybody say giving. All right. So then he says, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Do you know that your giving can stir up people around you to give? And so in this case, the giving of this church was actually stirring up the believers to give in Macedonia. So verse 3 he says, but I'm sending these brothers to be sure you're ready to serve, or you're really ready, as I've been telling them that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. He said this would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment. If some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I told them, he says, so I thought I would send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. So basically what he's saying is, I know you said you were wanting to give. I want you all to prepare the gift that you have for the church in Jerusalem and make sure it's ready when I get there. I don't want to have to take it up. Just make sure you're ready to give. So then he says in verse six, remember this. Well, let me read the rest of verse five. But I want it to be a what kind of gift? A willing gift. What kind of gift? A willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this. Now he's about to make an analogy. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get what kind of crop? A small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a what kind of crop? A generous crop. He says in verse 7, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Now let me stop there, because some of us were in environments where the pressure was there. That's why they made you get up and walk down for the offering. They put the table right here. And they put on the marching music. Everybody stood. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that. And you stood up and the ushers directed you. And even if you did not have no money, they still made you march. That's why people touched the table when they went by. Right? That's that pressure. He says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Watch verse 8. And God, watch what God will do after we do our part. He will generously provide for how much of our need? All of our need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And that's why I'm talking about what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just for you to have your needs met. Because see, we also read Philippians 4:19 wrong, which says God supply how much of our need? Oh, but see, sometimes we read that and we read it that God will supply all of our greed. So just touch your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me though. So he says, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity. Now, I want to go back and read verse 8, but I want to read it out of the King James, because listen, the King James is the foundation from where you ought to study from. Because all the other verses may leave out key points about it. I read other versions sometimes just to bring some everyday understanding and clarity. But when it comes to focus and studying, the King James. And so I want to read the King James version. It says, because the key word and what we're going to study is in there. It says, and God is able to make all grace, say grace. He's able to make all grace to abound towards you. Now that word grace, I'm going to show you, is favor. He says that you always, how long, how much? Always having what? All sufficiency in how many things? All sufficiency. So technically, church, we should not be short of anything we need. He says, and he wants it to be that way so we can abound to every good work. He don't want it to just be that way so we can abound to every vacation. Wow. Abound so we can buy what we want to buy. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with vacation. I like vacation. But I'm saying sometimes we want the abounding to be about us. So watch look at Luke chapter 1 verse 30. Let me show you that word grace that we just read. The word grace, it's actually mentioned in a different English word. And it says when Mary was being approached by an angel about her conceiving Jesus, the verse says, and the angel said to Mary, fear not, Mary, For you have found what, church? You have found favor with who? You have found favor with God. Now, there are different kinds of favor. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, he grew in favor with God and man. So you can actually not only have favor, but you can grow in favor. And after I'm done today, it's going to be really obvious, I think, of how you can grow in favor. So here, what I want to do is just show three key words in that verse, and then we're going to jump into what I want to talk about. The word when in 2 Corinthians 9:8, where it says God is able. Everybody say he's able. That word able means God is mighty and powerful in wealth, and he's able to influence in a strong way. I'm going to say that again. It means God is mighty and powerful in wealth, and that he is able to influence in a strong way. And then that word make, when it says he's able to make all grace, that word make means all forms and manner of something. So he's saying whatever grace is attached to, it doesn't matter, because I can make it have all forms of whatever it is. And then the word grace there means divine influence upon the heart. It also means liberality. It means benefits. It means graciousness. And watch it else. It means and the merciful kindness of by which God exerts his holy influence upon the souls to turn them to Christ. So that's why it says by grace are we saved through faith. Why grace? Because that's God exerting his holy influence upon the soul of a person so they can turn to Christ. So that's why grace is even necessary for people to be saved. But grace is not the... Listen, salvation is not the only thing where grace is needed. Amen. So, if we put all that together, 2 Corinthians 9:8 should read like this. And God is mighty and powerful in wealth, and he's able to influence strongly to make all grace, which is divine influence upon a person's heart, that he causes liberality to happen and benefits to abound toward us. That's what grace is supposed to look like and supposed to sound like. So giving grace, watch this now. This is good right here. Because see, what I want to do is give a contemporary perspective of grace. Because we have a Bible perspective, but how many know grace is still alive? Because if God is still alive, grace is still alive. And if grace is still alive, that means God has a way in principle for you and I to walk in grace or favor. So I'm getting ready to show a video. Now this video I ran across is, the reason I'm showing it is because it's the exact thing that I'm trying to teach you this morning. But it's a modern day example, watch this now, of how giving produces favor in your life. Everybody say giving can produce favor in my life. Let's say it one more time. Say giving can produce favor in my life. Okay, so y'all watch the video.
So 10 years ago, no, 11 years ago, Kev on stage came to Charlotte, North Carolina to do a birthday comedy show for a guy named Charles. I messaged Charles and I said, hey, Charles, y'all got an opener for the show? He said, I ain't got no money. I said, me either. Charles, put me on that show. He said, man, I ain't got no money to pay no opener. I said, put me on the show. You don't got to pay me nothing. I did that show, and that was the first time I met Kev on stage. I just wanted to perform with Kev. I saw him online and I was like, man, this dude killing it. Man, I want to open for him. And I did. Sometimes you never know what a seed will do. If you've been watching the page, man, I've been on tour with Kev on stage. 11 years later though, seeds sometimes take time. But 20 cities. And to cap it all off, my last stop on the tour is in my wife's hometown, which is London, England. So I'm going to be able to fly with me and Esther to London, England on tour with Kev on stage in my wife's hometown. I'm glad I sold that seed 11 years ago. Don't undermine a seed. Sow that thing. Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. I want you to notice that his seed was his time. He didn't have no money. But see, everything we do that involves giving is a seed. When you give your time, that's a seed. When you give a compliment, that's a seed. When you pay for somebody's lunch, that's a seed. When you, anything that we do, when you serve, that's a seed. And so I wanted you to see today that giving produces favor, but sometimes we think it's just the giving of money. But it's not. Now the reason First Lady's up here with us, can y'all give First Lady a big hand today? Give her a big hand. So we were having a conversation on yesterday, and I was talking about what I'm talking about today, and she brought up some examples of giving that she's beginning to see favor on, we see favor on, that I said, baby, you have to share. Now, how many know I had to really convince First Lady to get up here? So I want y'all to just smile. But baby, she, you know, she's always doing something with the girls and something in the girls' school. And I see her doing, so like at home right now, I'm setting her up. At home right now, she done bought some stuff that like, makes stuff. Like she has bought like these little pouches and, she's created some things and ironed it on there. And she's putting are you putting the name of the teachers on each one? Babe, so tell us some of this stuff you doing and have been doing at the girls' school so they can get an idea of how giving can produce favor. Help us out.
As a former teacher and principal, I have a heart for education and I have a heart for teachers. So shout out to all the educators.
Yes.
And when my girls started school, I made a conscious effort to I always bless the teachers, and not just the classroom teacher, but the music teacher, the PE teacher, the library, because those are the people that are often forgotten about. And so this year, I decided that I was going to extend this, and I call this my ministry, to specifically target the office staff, because the nurse, the attendance clerk, the data clerk, the assistant principal, the counselor, those are the unsung heroes that make the school work. And so I said, almost every time that I step on that campus, I want to come with giving something to the office staff. So Maddie had a doctor's appointment this week. So I said, okay, Maddie, before we go back to campus, let's stop and let's get some donuts and some kolaches and let's bless the front office staff, because I also want to show my children the importance of sowing seeds. And so we do things like getting donuts for Christmas. I probably had 50 to 60 between teachers and staff and office that we were giving them gifts for. We gave them, the book fair was the other day. So when I went and bought London's books that she wanted, The teachers had lists of books that they wanted, and you're supposed to scratch it off if you bought them something. Well, nobody had bought the teachers anything. So I took the teachers list and we bought the books that were on the teachers list, and I had London go give the books to the teachers saying, hey, we bought the books that were on your list. So when I started this as a ministry, the goal was to be a blessing. In our confession, we say, God has blessed me so that we can be a blessing to others. And so I want it to be a blessing. And I don't go in there with the expectation or entitlement of getting anything, because I know that my reward comes from the Lord.
Yes.
And so I don't go into school time, well, I brought y'all donuts yesterday so my daughter can be late every day. No, that's not the expectation. That, like Pastor said in the beginning, it's your heart, making sure that your heart is in the right posture to give. And so when I go, I don't expect anything from them. I'm just going to serve and to give. Well, with that comes favor.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. There's nothing that money can't buy peace. Money can't buy. London's with her dad every other week for 2 days out of the week, so I don't get to see her. But it warms my heart when the secretary will text a picture of her in the lunchroom, when the teacher will text me a picture of her saying, your baby's okay. Those are the things that money can't buy. That favor is from the Lord. When the principal will call me to say, hey, we're thinking about implementing a specific strategy or program or initiative, what are your thoughts on that? So being able to have influence over decisions that are made in the campus. when I go to Maddie's game, because she's in all the sports, and then and the lady at the box is like, oh, come on in, Miss Connor. You don't even have to worry about paying. And then while you're at it, stop by the concession stand and get you something to eat.
Hey.
It's those things that, even though that they're small, it's still favor and grace that I don't take for granted. So
yes.
Just be encouraged and know that even giving, God honors that. And so that's what Pastor wanted me to share today.
Thank you, baby. Y'all give her a big hand. I'm going to give you a kiss when I get back down there. Sometimes we... Oh, hey. That was a bonus. Praise the Lord. I like bonuses. How many like bonuses? So many times we make giving so big that we lose momentum in doing it because we're not at the level we want to be. But you can't despise the day of small beginnings. You have to start somewhere. Touch a neighbor and say, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. So here's what I'm going to do. I told you it's more inspirational, okay? And here's why I'm doing this. When I meet people on the street, they're clueless of what I do and who I am. And a lot of times they'll come up to me and their first words are, what do you do? First they look at what you have. But remember now, the world looks on the outside before they can see what's on the inside. The scripture says, man looks on the outside, but where does God look? Okay, so if the world is looking on the outside, church, can I tell you something? You gotta give them something to see. You gotta give them something to see. So anyway, hopefully, here we go again, the Wizard of Oz, I'm about to show you something behind the curtain, okay? And I hope it'll help you appreciate, you know, what you see at times. So I'm going all the way back to April of 2024. So we're talking about last year, right? I was on a panel, I was invited to be on a panel with, it was three of us total, and it was really a panel regarding, financial stuff, okay? And they had a perspective of why they picked the three different people. I was the only married person on the panel, so that was probably one of the reasons why they picked me. And so, one of the guys that was on the panel is a very influential, well-known guy. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want y'all to feel like I'm name dropping. But anyway, we're on the panel. And when the panel is over, he says to me, Pastor Evan, I really like that jacket you have on. Now, y'all already know what kind of jacket I probably had on. What kind of jacket probably was. Yeah, it was one of those jackets. So he was like, I really like it. So I took it off and I let him try it on. And I'm much taller than him. So it was too big for him. So he was like, I was like, oh yes, it's too big. So he gave it back. He said, man, but I really like that jacket. I was like, you like that? I said, I'll get you one. So then he was like, oh no, you don't got to do that. And so now he's going into defense mode of why I shouldn't buy him a jacket. So then the third guy that was on the panel with us said, bruh, you don't know Pastor Evan. Just let him do it. So the guy gave in. So on April 25th, now the day that I did that, I told you it was in April. The 25th of April, because I documented all this in text message. I didn't do it on purpose, but it just came like that. I reached out to my Gucci rep and said, hey, I need you to do something for me. I need you to find this jacket and I need you to find this size because that's about his size. And then I need you to ship this jacket to this guy. So on May the 3rd, now, 1 month later, he received the jacket. And the way I sent it as a gift with a gift receipt. So if he didn't like it, he could get something else. Now, I never do this, but I'm doing it for a reason. That jacket cost me $3,000. Now, how many know that's a lot of money? Yeah, that's a lot. I don't care how much money you have. That's still a lot of money. Right? But we're talking about how giving produces favor. So in 2 Corinthians 9, where it says that God's able to make all grace or favor to abound when we give, on May 31st. Now remember, I started this whole process in April. He got his gift in May. So now on May 31st, the last day in May, I got a text message. I'm going to read you the text message. This is at 8:17 a.m. from my Gucci sales rep. And this is what it says. Good morning, Evan. I have some exciting news. Please give me a call as soon as possible. I'm thinking, well, first of all, why are you texting me at 8 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, what does he have to tell me at 8 in the morning? So when I called him, that's when he informed me that Gucci has selected First Lady and I to represent them and attend their spring edition fashion show in Milan, Italy. So I'm like, really? So now I want to know details. Okay? So come to find out, it was an all expense. Everybody say all expense. It was an all, you know, because sometimes people say, hey, girl, go on this trip with me. You didn't know you was going to pay for it, though. Right? No, it was an all expense trip. First class airline, first class hotel. Soon as we walked in the hotel, there were Gucci gifts all over the place in the room. They paid for our personal driver. They paid for all the dinners. They paid for us to attend the fashion show. And you have to understand, the fashion show was like you were a celebrity. Because we were in the hotel with Serena Williams and her sister. And, you know, so it was celebrity people around. So as soon as we came out of the hotel, you know, we look good, but they don't know who we are, though. So they're like, wow, that's a good-looking couple. Who is it? They just start snapping pictures. I'm like, okay, paparazzi, where's my security? Security, security. Right? So we get in the car. They take us to the fashion show. Soon as the door of the van opened, I mean, pictures are snapping. And then they had us to stand. You know how there's a whole thing, right? We get in there, and it was amazing. And then what was even more amazing is we're seated. You know, they had two sides, and the designer, his mother and brother was sitting across from us, and it was pretty far across. But for some reason, the mother, who never talks to nobody, in fact, she can't even talk English, gets up, the son escorts her over to come and talk to Cherise, and she was convinced that she knew Cherise. And Charissa make you feel like it, maybe you do. She's so sweet with it. But I'm like, wow, we have favor with the designer of the Gucci brand. And see, it may sound like I'm bragging, but I'm only telling you how a seed sown produced some favor in my life. That's my point. So don't stray away. Listen, we were able to have dinner with top executive Gucci people. We met and had dinner with the CEO of Gucci. But then I want you to see, because us, when the Bible told us that God is able to multiply your seed that was sown. So that trip by itself, which by the way, you know, cause we stayed for a couple of days extra. Since you were out that far, you might as well stay, right? So I was like, I'm not changing rooms. Well, that room was $3,500 a night. Okay, and so, I don't know. Well, let me, I'm running out of time. Jesus. That's all the time I got? Oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna tell you the rest of it. Okay, let me just say this part. Because favor, when you give, you don't just get back what you gave. That's a loan. God don't need no loan from none of us. It says give and it what? Shall be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? So it's not a coincidence that in October the staff bought me that Gucci jacket. Cause I sold Gucci. I should reap some. Come on, church. You don't put strawberry seeds in the ground and come back and expect oranges. Like, where the oranges at? No. You reap what you what? Listen, I've gotten so many different things from Gucci, from people, just from that. They think they're just being nice to me, but they're really just returning the harvest from the seed that I sowed. So let me hurry up and say this part right here. Luke 6:38. Let's go to the King James Version media department. I'm going to have to readjust how I'm doing this in the second service. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Watch this. Here's the part I want you to see. Shall men give unto your what? Your bosom. For with the same measure you pour it out, it shall be measured to you again. I want you to notice that the quality of your giving determines the quality of your getting. Did you get that? The quality of your giving determines the quality of your giving. Here's a take-home statement that you don't have on your paper. The quality of my seed determines the quality of my harvest. Now listen, here's where I think people go wrong when it comes to giving. They don't have proper expectation when they do it. Unfortunately, many of us, especially if you grew up in a very religious church, they taught you that you should not expect back when you give. If you're going to have the giving, a right heart in giving, you shouldn't expect back. But that's like a farmer putting seed in the ground and not expecting nothing to come from it. But see, the expectation that most people have when they give are from the people they're giving it to. And that's why the expectation there is wrong. It should not be from the people you're giving it to. It should be from the person who gave you the principle of giving, which is God. Say amen to that. Amen. My expectation is not in just the seed I sow. It's in the seed that makes everything grow, which is the word. Because remember, it says the sower soweth the what? Word. So listen, my expectation, your expectation when it comes to giving should be from God and not from people. Because if you put the pressure on people, then now people will disappoint you when they don't do what you wanted them to do. But if my expectation is in Him, see, that's the deal. That's the key right there, church. When you give, regardless of what it is, if you're giving at work, cause see, some of you all are mad at, I almost said another word, but it wasn't a good word, but it wasn't a cuss word, but it wasn't a good word. Let me say it like this, ticked off. Some of y'all ticked off at your boss because they're not recognizing you properly. But the problem is you're sowing the seed and you're expecting the harvest from the wrong person. See, if God is the Lord of the harvest, when I'm sowing my seed, this is why it says He can supply all my need, because my expectation from my seed is on Him and not on them. And so if anything today, redirect your expectation. Redirect it. Stop directing it toward who you gave or where you gave. Now change your expectation from them to Him so that He, listen, the kingdom of heaven does not lack resources. Listen, even though God uses man to get it to me, that makes them a resource, but it doesn't make them my source. My source is Him, and that's when I can trust. And that's why, regardless of what need comes up in my life, that's why it says, look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from who? It comes from the Lord. And there are some people in the room today with every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some people in the room today.